The last edition of Advances in Eye Care, our referrals update, focused on discussing the various regional systems put in place to ensure that correct and timely referrals are being made in busy community practices. As we learnt, this is an evolving area, and a recent innovation that has the potential to transform the process is artificial intelligence. Dr. Mark Dunn at Aston University has worked on several research projects to identify the benefit of AI in clinical practice and in education and training, and plans for more such projects are underway. We caught up with Mark and with Farah Rakib, a postgraduate researcher at Aston, to hear about the advantages and challenges of AI within the field of optometry, as well as how these principles might be introduced into undergraduate optometry courses. Mark explains why he's adamant in his belief that AI should complement rather than replace the established skill set of the optometrist.
Could you begin by explaining the terms AI and machine learning?
Artificial intelligence is that demonstrated by computers, in contrast to the intelligence demonstrated by humans. And machine learning refers to the manner in which a computer learns to apply artificial intelligence.
And what is an algorithm?
An algorithm is a set of instructions that tells our computers how to perform any task. The artificial intelligence algorithms we use at Aston University take two forms. One form is a set of rules or flowcharts based on the available literature. Our virtual patient software uses this form of algorithm. This software appears to have artificial intelligence because it guides or assesses our students during virtual patient eye examinations. However, machine learning is not actually involved. Machine learning is involved in another form of artificial intelligence that we use. And in general, machine learning varies in complexity from the relatively straightforward application of Bayes' theorem, which we use, to the much more complicated deep learning architecture used for OCT scans that have been developed by DeepMind, Moorfields, and UCL. Our application of Bayes' theorem for machine learning has much the same level of accuracy as the deep learning architecture used for OCT scans. However, we can only apply Bayes' theorem to clinical data sets.
How does Bayes' theorem work?
Well, Bayes' theorem itself is over 250 years old and was described in the Ophthalmic and Physiological Optics Journal over 30 years ago by Aspinall and Hill. Bayes' theorem involves updating our initial beliefs with objective new information to get a new and improved belief. So in the context of the clinical data sets used in eye care, initial beliefs relate to how common one or more outcomes are. These outcomes could be, for example, eye conditions or referral urgencies. These initial beliefs are expressed as pre-test probabilities or prevalence, from which pretest odds are derived. The objective new information relates to the presenting history, symptoms, signs, and all clinical test results. The diagnostic value of these clinical findings is expressed in the form of likelihood ratios. And these likelihood ratios can be used to improve the efficiency of eye examinations by identifying confirmatory clinical tests that have most diagnostic value. The improved belief is expressed in the form of post-test odds that are calculated by multiplying the pre-test odds by the likelihood ratio. Post-test odds are finally converted to estimates of the relative probabilities of alternative outcomes. The calculation of pre-test odds and likelihood ratio takes place during machine learning.
What is big data, and are there concerns about storage of personal data?
Well, the term big data is used to describe collections of vast amounts of data from, for example, the millions of eye examinations carried out every year. Storage of huge amounts of personal data is not as big as a problem as it might first seem. Bayes' theorem only requires population counts. For example, machine learning involving 200 different clinical findings relating to 200 different outcomes would require about 40,000 counts, regardless of whether there were millions or billions of cases. 40,000 counts fall well within the storage capacity of databases that can run on even our own home computers. The data from individual cases can be erased as soon as they've been counted, so storage of personal data is not required, and this is particularly relevant to the recently introduced general data protection regulations.
Are there already commonly used algorithms in optometry?
Yes. Automatic vicimeters, refractors, tonometers and perimeters are commonplace in optometric practice. All rely on computer algorithms, and each has some degree of artificial intelligence. This allows automatic vicimeters and refractors to generate spherocylindrical powers. It also allows tonometers to generate intraocular pressures. The Swedish Interaction Threshold Algorithm, or THETA for short, developed for use in Humphrey automated perimeters, incorporates Bayes' theorem to shorten test times.
How might an algorithm replace a clinician in optometry, and are there any examples you know that can illustrate this?
Catania and Nicolitz describe artificial intelligence as a concept and science whose time has come. They review its numerous current applications that include determination of final spectral prescription without subject refraction and systems that teach themselves how to detect diabetic retinopathy. We have all undoubtedly heard about the recently reported work carried out by DeepMind, Moorfields and UCL on the application of deep learning architecture to OCT scans. After machine learning, the system recommended the correct referral decisions with 94% accuracy. It matched or exceeded the performance of specialist ophthalmologists and optometrists. Yet, I do not believe that artificial intelligence will replace a clinician in optometry. But I think Catania and Nicolitz have got it right when they say that innovative practitioners will have already started to plan for a future in which artificial intelligence will play a greater role in clinical practice. They describe a shift away from humans versus machines to humans working with machines. We already do this with automated perimetry and the like. Interestingly, the deep learning architecture used for OCT scans was also designed to show clinicians the signs upon which its decisions are based. This suggests, to me at least, a desire to involve rather than replace practitioners. Catania and Nicolitz recommend that we commit to learning and embracing the concept of artificial intelligence. The Foresight Project report, commissioned by the Optical Confederation and College of Optometrists to consider the potential impact of technology on the UK optical sector up to the year 2030, also calls upon universities to respond to this disruptive technology, such as artificial intelligence, by re-evaluating their undergraduate optometry programmes.
What advantages might there be in wider use of machine learning or AI in the field of optometry?
I believe there are at least four advantages. First and most important, I agree with Catania and Nicolitz's view that with computers and humans working together as partners, our customers will emerge the biggest winners. Second, I believe that the application of artificial intelligence machine learning to clinical decision support via electronic practice records will also protect optometrists against medico-legal action. I think that systems of this sort one day will be used for every examination carried out. Optometrists will then have at their fingertips truly evidence-based support for every decision they make. This support will be particularly valuable for those cases for which clinical management is not clear-cut. This support will also be highly valued by specialist optometrists moving into ever more complicated fields of patient management. The word support is important here, as optometrists could use artificial intelligence to help them make clinical decisions rather than having these decisions made for them by artificial intelligence. Added to this, the legal defence teams of the Association of Optometrists will have comprehensive data to gauge the standards of optometric practitioners. Third, use of artificial intelligence for all eye examinations will provide optometry teachers with a vast resource of up-to-the-minute evidence that can inform the training of tomorrow's optometrists. This could expand into continuous education and training, as artificial intelligence can also be applied to automated grading and feedback designed to maintain clinical knowledge throughout our working lives. A colleague of mine coined the term practice buddy for such a system. We all have good and bad days, but what if our practice buddy could be watching our backs? The fourth advantage is the time potentially freed up by artificial intelligence. The TOPAL review, commissioned by the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, refers to this as the gift of time that creates an environment in which more time is made available for care and enhancement of the customer-optometrist relationship.
And what are the challenges?
Well, Catania and Nicolitz consider that there are formidable ethical and emotional challenges, and add that artificial intelligence may be an uncomfortable concept for some. We've already discussed concerns about storage of personal data. Although population counts are stored rather than personal data, many people will still need reassurance that their data will not get into the wrong hands. There is also the challenge of convincing healthcare professionals that artificial intelligence is reliable. Catania and Nicolitz cite the impressive performance of Amazon's Alexa, Apple's Siri, Google's Home, video games, and even driverless cars as compelling everyday cases for the reliability of artificial intelligence. But they also add that further reassurance for healthcare workers, in particular, is likely to come from artificial intelligent machine learning systems capable of explaining how they reach their conclusions. Now, Google and Apple are already working on this, but as already mentioned, the deep learning architecture used for OCT scans incorporates this facility already. Finally, there is the challenge of intrusion caused by continuous monitoring of practitioners for the purposes of artificial intelligence machine learning. After all, optometrists already experience chair time pressures, but they may now perceive that they have to contend with Big Brother.
You previously worked on bringing the concepts of AI into your university teachings. Do you think these concepts should be included in all undergraduate optometry courses?
Yes, definitely. It fits in with what the Foresight Report recommended and what the TOPAL review is currently setting out to achieve. We're also in the midst of the GOC's Educational Strategic Review. Therefore, the time is right to start making plans. A rewarding aspect of the research we've done at Aston University is that it involved collaboration between teachers and over 30 optometry students embarking on undergraduate or postgraduate research projects. Optometry students have an appetite for collaboration with their teachers to extend the bounds of evolving optometric teaching. At Aston, we have been working on bringing the concepts of artificial intelligence into undergraduate and postgraduate teaching for at least 15 years now. I think that comparing Bayes' theorem to the type of deep learning architecture used for OCT scans is like comparing paraxial geometric optics to the types of advanced skew ray tracing procedures used by the optical industry. So just as paraxial geometric optics that's used by our first year students is enough to give our students a solid foundation in the optical properties of ophthalmic lenses and the human eye, I believe that Bayes' theorem could also provide our students with a solid foundation in artificial intelligence machine learning. And this has led to a new concept that we call the Bayes Translational Learning Cycle, or BTLC for short. This concept goes as follows. We want to develop a kind of do-it-yourself approach to building Bayesian artificial intelligence into the clinical practice and training of optometrists. There is no doubting that artificial intelligence is here to stay. In the context of optometry, it enables rapid access to the best possible evidence for our clinical decisions and for educating the optometrists of tomorrow. Tomorrow's optometrists, in turn, can offer their clients the best possible care with greater confidence. Computers can augment clinical decision-making skills and the teaching of those skills. Any perceived fear of artificial intelligence may come from a feeling of not being in control. We think that this feeling can be overcome if optometrists themselves become the creators of systems that employ artificial intelligence, hence the notion of do-it-yourself. The BTLC concept is based on Bayes' theorem that lends itself to application by clinicians while also being remarkably accurate. Far more advanced forms of artificial intelligence are essential for complex processes such as analysis of OCT scans, but are practically impenetrable to all but the most highly trained computational mathematicians. We believe that Bayes' theorem can be applied to data collected at the clinical coalface to drive intelligent electronic practice recording systems and virtual patients that, respectively, optimize disease detection and clinical training. By this means, the translational element of BTLC allows the use of clinical data to inform evidence-based practice and research-led training. The cyclical element of BTLC involves evaluation of the learning efficiency and accuracy of artificial intelligence machine learning based on Bayes' theorem, and in turn, its continuous refinement. We envisage that the BTLC approach would fit neatly into any 3-year optometry degree course. It could be delivered entirely using the Microsoft Excel database software that optometry students are already familiar with. First-year students could be taught how to apply Bayes' theorem to artificial intelligence machine learning. They could also receive clinical training using basic virtual patients, incorporating artificial intelligence, which in addition reinforce the notion that Bayes' theorem provides a means of research-led training. Second-year students could then be taught how to evaluate artificial intelligence machine learning while receiving further clinical training on advanced virtual patients also equipped with artificial intelligence. Third-year students could then apply the intelligent electronic practice recording systems during real patient examinations and embark on research projects aimed at exploring further optimization of machine learning. Having trained using the BTL system, tomorrow's clinicians will not only have a practical understanding of the application of artificial intelligence machine learning to clinical decision support, but will also have benefited from the clinical decision support itself. We now plan to take up the challenge of implementing the BTLC concept and developing the supporting elements of the curriculum. Over the next 4 years, we will concentrate the BTLC project on independent prescribing for acute anterior eye conditions. We will once again be collaborating with the West Kent CCG COT with additional help from its other independent prescribing optometrists. These are Nicola Sabakbar, Chirag Patel, Thurka Sivapalan, and Manisha Patel. Dr. Preeti Bogal-Bamra, the new director of Aston's Flexible Framework Programme, will be joining us.
What advantages might the utilisation of AI and machine learning present to the field of ophthalmology?
I think that ophthalmologists stand to gain as much as optometrists do. For a start, artificial intelligence can dramatically reduce the number of false positive referrals to hospital eye departments. Systems like the deep learning architecture used for OCT scans can also provide a remote screening to make sure the people needing urgent attention are seen first. Added to this, artificial intelligence systems have already been developed to guide eye surgery and even enable remote robotic eye surgery.
How do you think AI tools would be implemented in the field practically?
The use of artificial intelligence for online and remote triage systems and remote surgery are already practical implementations. But I would add that electronic practice recording systems used by all optometrists for gathering a massive evidence base may also one day lead to smart electronic practice recording systems offering clinical decision support. The practicality of smart records lies in their potential to provide patients with the best possible care while providing optometrists with the best possible medico-legal protection and the gift of time.
Would this be on a local or national scale, and how would AI cope with local variations in disease prevalence?
I rather hope that this would be on a national scale. Even the most basic form of artificial intelligence, using Bayes' theorem, can account for these variations if geographic location is added as one of the clinical inputs for machine learning.
Would extra training be required?
Now, I have to be careful how I answer this question. The TOPOL review is all about planning the educational and developmental needs of a healthcare workforce required to deliver the digital future. We also plan to contribute to this effort in changing the way we train our undergraduate and postgraduate optometry students. But this training is aimed at helping tomorrow's optometrists trust artificial intelligence and even contribute to its development. I do not think that our profession needs to fear yet more training to cope with the digital future. Artificial intelligence is here to help rather than burden us.
Will AI make clinical decision-making redundant?
Not at all. Do we feel that artificial intelligence-led decisions made by CETA, for instance, in some automated perimeters, robs us of our clinical skills? I've always welcomed this type of assistance. After all, it frees up thinking space to consider how to meet the often varied and complex needs of real customers. As Katania Nikolic put it, we'll be working in partnership with our digital tools to offer our customers the best possible care. Actually, I think that our digital future is terrifically exciting and will improve life for everyone.
Thank you, Mark and Farah.